I am Jeff Garcia, and this is Locked On Spurs. Welcome back to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And, you know, Spurs have been winning. They've been really winning. I'm talking about 20-plus points. It's not uncommon for the Spurs to be on the opposite end of a blowout. You remember those days or games to start the season. The Spurs are walloping teams mightily. And they're getting it done not just from their main stars, but from the supporting cast. But despite being 18-15 and riding the three-game winning streak, maybe we should tap the brakes a bit. So what we're going to do today on this episode of Locked On Spurs, we're going to explain why you should tap the brakes. We're going to take a look back at the Spurs' recent win over Minnesota and then take a look ahead at tonight's matchup versus the Rockets. And to do that, I am joined by the quarantined Joe Garcia. Joe, you've been away for a while. First of all, are you feeling better? Are you out of quarantine?
I'm out of quarantine. My voice isn't quite the same. Still fighting that sinus infection, but at least you can hear me. You know, I lost my voice and I wasn't able to talk, but at least this will work for now, right?
Yeah, exactly. Look, Joe has been out for the entire week, well, at least the bulk of this week here on Locked On Spurs. Fortunately, we had a bunch of guys step in and step up for Joe, but he's back. So we're going to take it easy on him. We're not going to raise his blood pressure and say the Spurs are championship bound because he might throw his cell phone or his computer out the window. But Joe, let's talk about the Minnesota Spurs matchup that happened yesterday. Spurs got the better of Minnesota, 124-98. They avenged the last time Spurs and Wolves met, and the Wolves, you know, punched the Spurs in the mouth. It wasn't pretty. Nevertheless, it's a win. It's a third straight win for San Antonio. Another game where they withheld a team under 100 points. Joe, before we dive into the meat of the first segment, what did you like coming out of that Minnesota game for San Antonio?
You just like the energy and the intensity that they've been playing these, to start these games with. You know, in the past when they weren't doing so well and they were getting blown out by 30, it was a lack of energy. You didn't see a lot of this, you know, defense. It was, you know, the team just seemed to have, they were missing something. They were missing a spark. But recently, yeah. Even with this game with the Minnesota Timberwolves, you've seen that resurgence, that spark. You've seen that energy starting the game in a great way. You don't never want to start the game being down 10 or 15 points, being able to sustain leads, being able to play defense consistently to start the game has been instrumental to the Spurs' success as of late. So you got to like a lot of the things that you're seeing. And, you know, one of the things that I have noticed, Jeff, especially during this game, is that the Spurs have kind of slowed the pace down a little bit. You know, they think they're finding out who they really are. You know, they're not one of these teams that's going to be a run-and-gun team like a Golden State Warriors or a Houston Rockets team. The Spurs are just going to be methodical, play defense, kind of slow the game down, and give, you know, they're going to take whatever the opposing defense gives them. And I think they've showed a lot of poise in doing that. And we've seen them, you know, be on this tear recently, especially during this game. I mean, you got to love the three-point shooting. I mean, it's like everybody was firing on all cylinders. It was crazy. Yeah. There was a point where Marco was just going off. It was like watching somebody play NBA 2K or NBA Jam. Yeah. You know, it was like he's on fire, dude. It's like that was great to see.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought up Marco Bellinelli. I just recently wrote an article about Marco and his resurgence of late from the three-point line. First of all, he made it very clear he is not going to go to the 2019 NBA All-Star three-point shootout contest. He's not going to try to win it again like he did back in 2014 for San Antonio. But yeah, he has been on a tear of late, and he's now getting the recognition he deserves. Consider this, Joe. He scored double-digit points in three straight games already. So there's that offensive contribution the Spurs have been relying on him of late. Also factor this in, too. During this Spurs winning streak, these last three, 62% of his points come from the three-point shot. And he is just averaging in the last eight games for San Antonio, 52% from the three-point line. So definitely go to the Spurs Zone. Check out my article about Marco Bellinelli, what Popovich had to say about Bellinelli's contribution, and what Marco had to say about why he is hot of late from beyond the arc. But it's not just Marco Bellinelli, Joe. This is my takeaway from the game and the win over Minnesota. Is this. You didn't have to rely on DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge to do the scoring bulk. Bellinelli, Bertans, and Forbes were the leading scorers for San Antonio. The role players stepped up, and I like that out of San Antonio. You got contributions out of role players. You got contributions out of a guy, Bryn Forbes, who went undrafted and now is making an impact for San Antonio. I believe what he had 17 or 20, I don't remember the numbers are offhand right now, but nevertheless, he paced the way for San Antonio over Minnesota. Joe, what I like about this Spurs team of late is this, is that it's balanced scoring. You're seeing balanced scoring throughout the entire game versus Minnesota, games prior to Minnesota, and a correction, Forbes did score 22 points, and that came off of three of five shooting from the three-point line. Joe, I talked about the role players, but what about the stars? Are you worried that the stars, DeMar and LaMarcus, aren't really getting their reps, or is this something that maybe the Spurs and the fans and the team should embrace?
I think this is something that the fans and the team should embrace. I mean, when you don't have to rely so heavily on your superstars and you can rely on your supporting cast to get it done, that just makes the game easier for those starters. You know, in the case of, you know, DeMar DeRozan yesterday, he didn't need 20, 30 points to help the Spurs win. He focused more on distributing the ball with assist. You know, he had a good amount of assists for the game. He had 8 assists, which means that he was getting his teammates involved, you know, which is a good thing. It means that he doesn't necessarily have to go be the one to put the scoring load on his shoulders, which is a good thing. We've seen this turn, you know, where the supporting cast and the bench and everybody's been scoring. Even when I'm looking at the plus minus for the game prior to this winning streak, what did we see, Jeff? Minus 15, minus 20, minus, you know. And when you can look at the plus minus and you don't see any negatives on there, that's a good thing. This means that this team is playing at a very high efficient level. And one thing that I'd like to say, because I know a lot of people are getting mad that, oh, I'm saying bad things about Coach Pop and this. They don't understand exactly what I'm saying. They're taking a little snippet and running with it. What I'm actually saying is this. Do you think Coach Pop has really flipped a switch for this team and made them play any better? Or is this more attributed to the players? You know, because Coach Pop has been running the same system since the beginning of the season. I just think right now the Spurs players, the team, have finally started saying, you know what? We're going to start trusting the process. And you keep hearing that a lot on tweets that the players have after games. We're going to trust the process. We got to trust in Pop. We got to, you know, just play our roles to the best of our abilities. And I think that's what they've been doing. They bought into, you know what, instead of us trying to be out there running and gunning with the best of them and going on ISO, you know, isolation plays and trying to, you know, do one-on-ones, that didn't work for them. They got trashed. And now that they've made defense their first priority, we've seen them kind of settle into their role. I think they just didn't find their identity in the beginning of the season. But like Coach Pop had attributed, it's going to take time with 8 new faces. It's going to take a little bit of patience on our part. And I think that's what's been happening as of late. The players are kind of figuring things out. And everybody keeps on jumping on me. Oh, it's Coach Pop. The coaching staff and Coach Pop have done a great job in preparing these players for game time. Whatever decisions happen during the game, that's attributed to the players and how they're playing together as a cohesive unit on the court. Coach Pop doesn't have much to do about that. He can tell players, you're going to run these plays, but ultimately it's up to the players to try to get those plays executed within the scope of the game, and I think the Spurs have done a better job doing that. So kudos to them for coming together as a team and making defense their first priority.
Yeah, and speaking of team, in the win over Minnesota, the Spurs as a team had 36 assists. That helped out for 46 field goal makes. They are passing the ball around, and they're getting their shots down. So you're seeing the ball movement. You're seeing them distribute the ball. 36 assists on the night for 46 field goal makes. That's phenomenal coming out of the win over Minnesota. Now, I mean, look, was it all flowers and roses and rainbows? No, they took their foot off the gas in the third period. The Wolves cut a 30 point lead for San Antonio down to 16, but they never got closer than that. They did have a little bit of the turnover bug, 16 for 20 Minnesota points. But look, the Spurs heading into that contest were first in 3-point percentage, first in minimal turnovers, and first in plus minus above 20 plus minus. You know, the net rating was about 21. Obviously, that's probably changed, probably got better after the win. But you're seeing this team just really come together. Now, outside of the win, obviously that's what the only stat that really matters. You like to see that guys, and we talked about it too, LaMarcus and DeMar play minimal minutes. LaMarcus 22 minutes on the court, DeRozan 31. These guys, especially DeMar, has been averaging well upwards of 30 minutes. To start his career in San Antonio. That needs to trail off. And when you get guys like Forbes and Bertans and Bellinelli and Poeltl and Rudy Gay going, this is going to preserve their legs moving forward. So, I mean, there are so many positives coming out of the win over Minnesota, but I think it's time we kind of take a breath, because Joe and I, we're going to discuss a very big question that's been rubbing Spurs fans the wrong way. Maybe we should be tapping the brakes. So we're gonna take a break right now. We get back, Joe and I will explain why Spurs fans just need to take a deep breath and say, you know what? Maybe that corner turn has not turned yet for San Antonio. All right, we are back, and I'm joined by Joe Garcia, Two Shots Podcast. Joe has been out. He's been dealing with a really bad, what did you have, like a sinus infection, or you had a cold?
No, I had a sinus infection, and it affected my voice where I was coughing so much I couldn't talk. So good thing that now my voice is coming back.
Well, hopefully your voice is ready to go, because we're going to touch on a very hot topic right now, and that is why the Spurs, at least in our opinion, Joe, they haven't really turned the corner at all, despite their winning ways of late. I'll let you start it off. Why? Why do you think that, you know, Spurs fans need to tap the brakes?
Well, I've been covering the Spurs for quite some time. I've been through everything with them. I've been there through the good and the bad, you know, from the 80s, late 80s, all the way until, you know, now. And I've seen a lot of transitions. I've seen what this team can go actually accomplish, you know, and I've seen their ups and I've seen their downs. I've seen a lot of seasons in the NBA. You know, I'm a disciple of the game of basketball. Yes, I love the Spurs, but I also follow the game closely, and I know what happens as far as trends go. Just because a team is hot and caught fire doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to sustain that for the rest of the season. Look, it's a long season, and I'm not saying that the Spurs are, you know, they've turned a corner and that
the Spurs sustain this.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing, is that the Spurs right now, Jeff, they're playing good basketball. But we don't really know what's going to happen moving forward. Is this defense going to travel on the road? You know, there's still a lot of ball to play. And because the Spurs are catching fire, who's to say that the other teams in the West won't do the same? There might be some teams in a slump right now. You know, we have some other teams like Utah. You have other teams like the Dallas Mavericks. You have the Rockets who weren't doing so well. These teams can catch fire and turn at any time. And, you know, the law of averages tells you it's a long season. So just because you're doing good right now doesn't mean that this is going to be what's going to actually happen for the rest of the season. That's why I say let's kind of pump the brakes a little bit and let's see how this team carries over and puts together some wins on the road.
Yeah, look, is it, you know, for me, it's this. Do I like that they're winning? Of course I do. Do I like the fact that they're above 500 right now at 18 and 15? Of course. And that they're riding the 3-game winning streak. I like it. And I guess for me, it's more of, I'm optimistic. How's that? What once was, you know, dire and doom and gloom is now turned to optimism. I like what I'm seeing out of this San Antonio team. But look, there's no such thing as strength of schedule in the NBA because everybody plays everybody. But there is a such thing as maybe a little nice little comfy segment of your NBA schedule, and San Antonio has enjoyed that. You know, yes, they beat Philly, but the good chunk of those games, you know, we're kind of against you know, less than stellar great NBA teams. Utah, you know, they're not the Utah from last year. They lost to Chicago. We all know what happened. That was a debacle. They played an Orlando team on the road that really is not a strong Eastern Conference team, let alone an NBA team. Yeah, they beat the Clippers, but the Clippers were slumping as well. I don't think the Spurs team has been tested of late. I don't think so. I don't think they've bodied up to a Toronto, which they'll be playing soon, or an OKC team that has been hot of late. Maybe they dropped a couple, but they really, as a whole, in the last 10, have been playing really well. They haven't been checked yet. I need to see if they can go to Oracle Arena and beat the Warriors. Then I'll say, you know what, maybe they are back. I need to see if they go into OKC's house and beat Westbrook and Paul George in their gym. I'll be happy with that. But beating the likes of an Orlando Magic, a Utah Jazz, you know, losing to Chicago the way they did, it doesn't really make me say and proclaim they are back and they are official. They're going the right direction. They're getting their defensive sets down, and the proof is in the pudding. Teams under 100 points for consecutive games already. They're scoring. We knew that. We knew they could score heading into the season. That should not have been a problem. My issue is, can they do this away from the AT&T Center, and can they do this versus the big boys of the NBA? Joe?
Yeah, I agree with you on that, and, you know, I'm right there with you. And it's not only just, you know, the teams that are in the West, but it's also how are they going to do against the Eastern Conference, you know, teams, some of the better teams. You know, they've played a Magic team that's really on the outside looking in right now. But let's see how they stack up against some of the upper echelon teams, the Raptors, you know, for example. They really haven't seen the Celtics this season. You know, they haven't played the Hornets. Mm-hmm. They haven't played the Pistons, you know. And it'd be interesting to see how well this team stacks up against some of these other teams in the East that are actually, you know, looking at being playoff contenders. So if they can string together some wins, and even if it's against the bottom tier Eastern Conference teams, mm-hmm. if the Spurs can string together some wins on the road consistently, just like they've been doing here at home, I think it's, mm-hmm. you know, you can go ahead and you have a strong argument to say the Spurs are back, you know, if this carries over on the road, because we've seen what's happened. They play great at home, but not so much on the road. But if they can have mm-hmm. a winning road record once they go back out on the road again and they play some of these other teams, and let's say they go 3-1 on the road, I mean, that's pretty damn good, you know, considering that they've been subpar and they were 500 when they were out on the road. So if they can make that corner or turn that corner on the road, I'd say you have a strong argument to say that they are in fact back.
Yeah. Look, they've risen to the top of the division. They're number one, at least at this recording of this show. That's over a Rockets team that they'll face later on tonight. And they inch their way back into playoff positioning, I believe, what, seventh? They're at seventh slot right now.
Yeah, in the West.
In the West. So kudos to them. Good. Do I give them a pass for the start of the season? Yes, and I've been very clear about that I've been very on the let's wait and see camp. Joe knows that. He's been on the show. You know, when I've been saying, no, let's hold out. Let's see how they do. And I think that reasoning was needed because of the overhaul they had in the offseason, because they were playing a lot of games away from San Antonio to start the season and very minimal practice time. Remember, the NBA schedule pretty much trimmed down the training camp. These are a bunch of new guys that haven't really been together because of the roster overhaul. DeMar is, you know, Pirtle, Derek White is asked to do more. He is an injury bug, et cetera, et cetera. We all know what happened. Now you're starting to see them to who they're going to be, but we won't really see who they are until that All-Star break, until midway point of the NBA season. By then, we should know, because they'll be in the heart of their schedule they'll be starting to finally play some tough teams. They got Denver coming up soon. Then they got to go to Denver's house too and play them in their gym. Denver's no slouch. Despite them getting hit with a rash of injuries, they're still tops in the league, let alone the West. If they can go to a Denver, if they can go to Houston, if they can go to they can beat Kawhi and Toronto in San Antonio, I might start saying, yeah, okay, this team is legit. They're back. But until then, I'm going to take a little deep breath. I remember I didn't say slam the brakes. Joe didn't say take off the brakes and cut them. We're just saying tap the brakes. That's all. We're just saying, you know, pump the brakes a little bit. You know, let's just wait and see how they're going to be against the upper crust of the NBA.
In other words, Joe, give them a couple more games. You know, that's what we're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Give them a couple more games. And let me ask you, Joe. If you give them a couple more games, and let's just say they pull out some W's, will you start saying, you know what, okay, yeah, this team may be back?
Yeah, if they do that, you know, specifically if they can do that on the road, I would say, hey, you know, if they can still lay waste to teams as they've been doing, 25-plus points, you know, blowing teams out, even if it's not by 25, but convincing wins, you know, where they're not coming from behind, they're able to sustain the lead throughout the whole game, I'd say, hey, this team is back. And not only that, but if they're able to keep their opposing team to under 100 points on the road, that's really saying something. That means that this team is, in fact, back because they're able to carry over their defense, which is basically the staple of this Spurs system. You know, so if they can do that on the road, I mean, hey, you can say, hey, the Spurs are back. But we're just saying, let's wait and see just a couple more games. Let's see how they look on the road first.
Yeah, I know the month of January and February, their schedule, it's going to get really hectic, and there's a lot of big power teams in those in the upcoming months. I think at that point, we should know what the Spurs team is all about. Again, we're not saying cut the brake lines, Spurs fans. We're just saying tap the brakes a little bit. Just give them a little bit more time, give them a couple more games, as Joe mentioned, and then we'll see who they are. But we're going to take our final break. We get back, we're going to dive into tonight's contest, Spurs at Rockets. Okay, we are back. Joe Garcia is back on this episode of Locked On Spurs. Make sure to follow him on Twitter at Two Shots Podcast and go to Two Shots Podcast website. Joe also covers the Spurs over there. Joe, Spurs at Rockets. It's their third meeting of the season. They have split the first two. The last time, though, the Spurs and Rockets met, it wasn't pretty. Spurs got popped in the mouth really, really bad. I mean, it was just an embarrassment. It was one of the worst losses of the season for the Spurs. Joe, when you look at tonight's matchup, what stands out to you that the Spurs have to do?
They're just going to have to really play defense against this high-scoring Rockets team. They like to get out and run and, you know, really have the opposing team backpedaling. You know, they're almost like Golden State, you know, like the Thunder and like the Nuggets, you know, young teams that like to get out and run the floor. And if the Spurs can just, you know, play great transition defense again, you know, it's just, you know, hang their hat on defense and keep this team to under 100 points, I really do like the Spurs' chances of, you know, getting a convincing win against the Rockets. But if they can't, you know, sustain this team to like under 100, and things will get interesting, you know, because this team can put up some points, and the Spurs, you know, they just need to be able to control the pace is what I'm saying. You know, they can't get into a shootout and just, you know, we'll go ahead and let's try to run the Rockets out of the gym, you know, beat them at their own game. If the Spurs can control the pace, play this slow, methodical game, you know, and hang, you know, play really good defense for the full four quarters, they can get a win against this Rockets team, especially since they're going to be without the services of Chris Paul, you know, and then we're looking.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how big is that for San Antonio? Is that a situation where the Spurs, you know, are coming into tonight's contest thinking, you know, we got to win this game. They're without CP3.
Yeah, this is a game that they really do have to have, because notoriously what happens since we don't have DeJounte Murray, the Spurs guard play is what really kills us at times, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not talking anything bad about our guards. You know, I've even gone and publicly apologized to Bryn Forbes on air when I do the Spurs show, post-game show with my friend Chris Duell, because Bryn Forbes has been one of the most consistent players for the Spurs, and to me, I think he might be a really strong candidate for most improved player of the year. You know, unfortunately for the Spurs, I mean, Bryn Forbes isn't very tall. He's kind of an undersized guard, but I do a lot. I like a lot of the things that he's doing. He has more than just 3-point shooting. He's got developed a really good in between game. He's been more aggressive going towards the rim. I mean, you like everything that he's added to his arsenal. But when you're going up against, you know, some of these upper echelon guards, the Spurs just are trying to do the best they can in the absence of having somebody as long and athletic as a DeJounte Murray, who actually is a really good defender, you know. So the Spurs are hanging in there. And I think that right now the exploit that they have against the Rockets is guard play. And I think that if the Spurs can get some really good production out of Bryn Forbes tonight, you know, they can get good production out of Patty Mills, Derek White, you know, they're going to be in really good shape to take this game away from the Rockets.
Yeah, you look, for me, when I look at this game, I look at history. You know, in the last six meetings between San Antonio and Houston, the Rockets have won four of them. And current history, this season, the Spurs are atrocious on the second game of a back-to-back. How atrocious? They played five second games of a back-to-back and lost all five. So something about that, playing the second game of a back-to-back doesn't bode well for San Antonio heading into tonight's contest, nor playing Rockets, because simply the Rockets have had their number of late. And you mentioned CP3, and I'm glad you brought him up. I agree with you. CP3 gone. The Spurs need to take advantage of it. But that does not mean they're out of the woods, though, Joe.
Oh, no.
this season, just this season alone, his backup, Eric Gordon, who's likely to start tonight, he's averaging 25 points per game versus the Spurs this season. When I look at this tonight's matchup, yeah, you may point to LMA versus Capella, maybe, and that's going to be a juicy matchup. But I think you're right. Guard play. How is Forbes and Mills and DeMar going to handle the beast that is the bearded one, James Harden? Garrett Gordon, he loves playing against the Spurs. The numbers show that. So guard play, in my opinion, is the key matchup tonight. I got to have the team's guards step up versus a Rockets team that, yeah, they're without Chris Paul. That doesn't mean they're out of the woods yet. Joe, let's talk about this. We talked about the Capella matchup between him and LMA, LaMarcus Aldridge. You think that could be the second matchup of the night, or is there something else that we're missing?
Yeah, that could be the second matchup of the night, but the one that everybody's going to be looking at is DeMar versus James Harden. You know, what can DeMar DeRozan do in primetime against one of the better, you know, offensive players or offensive threats in the NBA and James Harden? I think DeMar doesn't have to match him point per point. I think if DeMar finds ways to get the team involved, you know, the rest of his teammates involved by distributing the ball, being, you know, going aggressive to the rim, but looking to get, you know, the ball to the open player in the corner for an easy three, such as, you know, Marco Bellinelli or a Bryn Forbes or even a Patty Mills, you know, or even getting Jakob Poeltl involved, you know, this would be pay off for the Spurs, because the scoring load doesn't have to fall on DeMar DeRozan. You know, if he loses he doesn't score as many points as James Harden, it's no big deal. The only thing that matters is, did your team get the W in the end? And I think that if he can just be aggressive, play his style of game, but look to get his teammates involved early, I think the Spurs give themselves a really good chance at winning, because they'll have a balanced scoring attack.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, well, it's not funny, but it's more of something they need to key on, is because they've been getting balanced scoring in the last few games, San Antonio, that is. They're going to need that tonight, because Harden is capable of going off for 50 a night if he really wants to. And let's not forget this too, Joe, and this is going to be my second quote-unquote matchup of the night, the refs. Oh. Are the refs going to give Harden every little ticky-tack foul? I mean, Joe, I think they may call me a foul on Harden, you know, at the rate they're going. It's almost to the point now where an NBA player can't even be within 5 feet of him, or they're going to call a foul. Joe, the Spurs are going to have to play smart tonight versus Harden, at least in that department, because let's face it, Harden gets a lot of generous calls, and they're in Houston, where they'll also have home cooking, Joe.
Yeah, it's true, but you know, a lot of these fouls that get called in favor of James Harden, he's the one that's instigating most of the contact. He leans in to the defender, falls back, and that's a foul on the defender. I mean, that's just ridiculous. Or he gets them to buy on the fake. They put their arms up, and as soon as they raise their arms, he goes and instigates the contact, you know, goes and leans into them, gets an easy call, goes to the stripe for an easy 2 points. You know, the Spurs, they have to give James Harden his space. You know, you got to play good defense on him, yes, but you can't, they've played against him enough times to know, but it's hard to coach that. You know, I mean, you know what's coming, but can you really stop it? You know, but I think if the Spurs can just play to their strengths and play smart basketball, play smart defense, especially on James Harden, you know what, if he's going to get 50, let him get 50, but what is the rest of his team going to do? If the rest of the team can't keep up that high production, it's going to be an early night for the Rockets. And I think the Spurs have the upper hand on that because the Spurs right now are the hotter team. They're playing really good team basketball. And I think if they can continue this trend tonight, we could actually be looking at the Spurs putting away the Rockets early. And you know what? That would be music to my ears because the Rockets blew us out. So it'd be nice for us to return the favor.
Yeah, the last time the Spurs and Rockets met, I mentioned it wasn't pretty. The Rockets beat them by 30 points. And yeah, it was not even a contest. So for the Spurs to hopefully return the favor versus the Houston Rockets, I think that'd be great. All right, Joe, let's go ahead and do it. How do you see tonight's game going down and who wins?
I see the Spurs actually pulling out a win. And I think they're going to do it in convincing fashion. Do I expect them to blow out the Rockets by 25? Not by any means. But I think it'll be a 10 to 15 point win for the Spurs. I'm thinking that the Spurs are going to be able to, you know, keep the Rockets to maybe under 100 points. I think the Rockets might score somewhere in the neighborhood of 96, 98 points on the night. And I expect the Spurs to put up a good offensive effort again, scoring maybe 115 to 120 points tonight. But needless to say, I think the Spurs are going to get the win.
Wow, Joe, you're going to give the Spurs a rare road win?
I'm going to give it to them.
All right, I hope you're right. As for me, I'm going to say no. I think the Spurs drop one tonight in Houston. Kind of told you why earlier. You know, history is not on the Spurs side heading into tonight's contest. They haven't won a game on the second game of back-to-back. I'm hoping that trend will be bucked tonight simply because DeMar and LaMarcus didn't get much playing time versus Minnesota. So that could be a key. I think the Spurs perimeter defense is going to have a hard time with Gordon and Harden. So I think it's going to come down to guard play. Unfortunately, Rockets have a better guard play than San Antonio. So, yeah, I know, let the hate mail start coming. But I see the Rockets getting a slim win over San Antonio tonight. Okay, so Joe and I, we're done talking. It's your turn. Do you think the Rockets will be seeing a big ol' L on their loss column tonight, courtesy of your Spurs? Or do you think Houston is going to beat up San Antonio once again? You can follow me on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone, or email me at JeffGarcia74. And, of course, if you want to talk about if the Spurs turn the corner or you still think that fans need to pump their brakes a bit, that'll be a welcome discussion, too. Now, Joe's going to talk to you about Two Shots Podcast and why you should go visit his website.
Yeah, we just recently started the Two Shots Podcast Network, and we've revamped the website where you can actually see all the great content that our podcasters are going to be bringing to you guys. Makes it really accessible, and we have everything from football cover to NBA basketball to MLB baseball. So go ahead and take a look at the website, and you can find us on the internet at twoshotssa.com and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at twoshotssa. A two shot, should I say, all spelled out, TWOSHOTS podcast.
Like two shots of vodka? Is that what you mean?
Like two shots of vodka, man. Shout out to my Borracho brothers, man. I know y'all are drinking today.
Yeah, seriously, go to Two Shots Podcast. Follow Joe on Twitter at Two Shots Podcast. As he mentioned, it's more than just Spurs on his side. Cowboys talk, I'm pretty sure he's loving Dallas right now. It's all there at Two Shots Podcast. And, of course, go to the Spurs Zone. News for San Antonio, Fox29SanAntonio.com. I am covering the Spurs along with my Spurs Zone crew almost daily. Everything you need to know about Silver and Black is there. Spurs Zone News for San Antonio, Fox29SanAntonio.com. So for Joe Garcia, I am Jeff Garcia, and we're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.